this fucking Turd Ferguson guy is he's been up my ass for like 2 years. Turd Ferguson guy. Turd Ferguson guy. Turd Ferguson
guy. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, rattle, 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 rattle.
Yeah. Welcome to the Dynasty Hot Sauce Podcast. I'm Larry Monkey, and you can find me on Twitter at @FFLarryMonkey.
I don't know where the dog is. He might be under those covers.
At @RawDFF, Justin Rogers. Rogers, baby.
Dog? I don't even know where the dog is, to be honest with you. Shit. That's probably something I should worry about. Yeah. But yeah, you know, another day, another podcast, another day on the couch.
That's true.
Relaxing.
We'll know when the dog makes an appearance because... we'll hear that tap dancing.
Yeah, she'll come tap dancing through.
All right. How's it going? What's going on? What's new?
Nothing, man. I'm just, you know, grinding away at the day job. Wishing I was more educated so I didn't have to do this manual labor.
Oh. There's clearly I need the education when it comes to Rookie and Devi and Matt Hicks at the @FF_educator. What's up, my man?
Hey, fellas, glad to be here. It's April. It is peak rookie hype season, so glad to jump on and talk about this stacked class with you all.
Stacked. You hear that, Justin?
I know it's stacked in a couple positions.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm excited about it. I've got some, like, 109s and 110s. I don't have very many 112s this year, unfortunately. I had a couple of those. But I got some 109s and 110s that are really excited. I'm excited about.
Well, it's still a good spot to be this year for sure. Yeah.
So you do the rookie big board with John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, great pod, great information, YouTube stuff, and you just dropped a mock draft with Johnny Lobb a couple hours ago.
Yeah, over on the Rookie Big Board YouTube channel, we got a nice 4-round 48 pick super flex mock draft. We just finished our rookie profile, so we said we would hold off on the mock drafts until we got all the profiles out. So we got about 35 rookie profiles out. And so we celebrated with a nice little mock draft.
Yeah. So you and John went back and forth through the picks and any surprises for you?
I mean, not too much surprising between me and John. We've worked together pretty closely now for about 5 years. So I feel like when I'm scouting prospects, I'm writing my own grades on them and I can write John's grades on them at this point as well.
Yeah,
you know what he sees, and he knows what you see by now.
Exactly. And we line up sometimes, and it's even better when we don't.
Right.
So, I don't know. I can kind of bring this up. I don't know if you could see it. It'll be fuzzy. But one thing that caught my eye was the nice first-round running back. Yes. Taken by yourself. Want to talk a little bit about that and why you have this guy where you got him?
Yes, I am above consensus, it seems, with Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. But I'm pretty adamant he's going to get really solid draft capital relative to this class. I don't think we're seeing a running back go top 50 in this class. But I think, you know, Braylon Allen will be right there in the back end of day two, one of the first two or three running backs drafted. I think the NFL is higher on him than the fantasy football community. Allen, for me, you know, he's clearly my running back one. He's got great size, 240 pounds. He's got great strength. I think he's got really underrated vision. He's a really shifty guy in short space. He runs well between the tackles. I think folks are caught up on two things for him. One, 40 time. He didn't run a very fast 40 time. I think some recent running back one producers in the NFL should have told us not to let that eliminate a strong, powerful running back. And the second thing is, if you watch that 2023 tape, his final collegiate season, you're going to be a little confused with the way he fit into a scheme change, which Wisconsin kind of muddled things up, in my opinion. But his first two seasons at Wisconsin, back-to-back 1,200-plus yard rushing seasons. One of those 1,200-yard seasons was when he was 17 years old running in the Big 10. That's a big check mark for me. He's going to enter the NFL not legally able to drink when he plays his first snap of NFL football. So he's young. He's productive. He's got great strength. I think he's going to end up a first-round, back end of the first-round ADP. I'll take him at 111 all day.
Yes, I was hoping for some end of the first round running backs. And you know, when you see it, you have teams that kind of looks like they're gearing up for taking a running back day too. Cowboys everyone's talking about them. I mean, I can't imagine them drafting a running back in the second round and he's not end of the first round picking a rookie draft.
Yeah, every single year we do this, there will be a running back with a first round ADP. I promise. The question will be, who do the Cowboys draft, right? that's going to be the running back one way or the other. And gosh, I mean, you put Braylon Allen in that system, that's going to be a really nice spot for him. You know, he's the type of guy where, you know, workhorse backs don't really exist in the NFL anymore, but you put him in a backfield with no other competition there in Dallas, he's going to get 250 plus touches as a rookie. He'll probably go earlier than 111, I would say.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Dallas is going to be like the magic landing spot for a running back, especially if they get decent draft capital or if they trade it up into the early third or something like that. That draft capital would vault them into at least 109, 110 range.
The scary part is we're relying on Dallas to do something logical, which is never a safe play.
Right. Yeah. They're going defense. So
no, they'll go draft a damn quarterback or some shit.
Send a message to Dak.
Oh no.
Dude.
Who's the next guy in the running back position?
Yeah. Next guy up for me is Blake Corum. I like Corum a lot. I think he's a really well-rounded runner. He's got great vision. He sees cutback lanes very well, sharp footwork. He's got good lower body strength, set the single season rushing touchdown record. I believe it was 21, 22, I think, by the end of 2023. So he's a great back. He's been productive over time. He's, I think, underrated as a pass catcher, an extension of the passing game. The thing about Blake Corum is I think he's going to be a really successful NFL runner. He's 5'7", 205. I don't think he's ever going to be the only, you know, the clear running back in an offense. He's probably going to max out about 40% of the rushing share, maybe 6-7% of the passing, which is still enough to be a running back too, especially in our current fantasy football landscape. I just don't think he has as much upside as a guy like Braylon Allen. So that's why he's my running back too, but he's pretty solidly in there. After Braylon Allen and Blake Corum, I think things start to get really dicey at the running back position, at least from my perspective. It's not a very consensus take at this point.
Yeah, that's the scary part about the running back position is that we're going to be relying on draft capital and who gets picked in the third round because the profiles aren't great.
You know, like right.
You're not looking at great tape. You're not looking at great, you know, breakout ages and dominator. I mean, it's not working in everyone's model, it feels like. Like everyone that puts a model out there, statistical model, it's like, oh shit, here we go. Just cross your fingers and pray on the running backs.
Yeah, it's a flawed class. You know, when you're looking at the running back specifically, especially relative to the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and even tight ends to a degree, it relatively just looks so tough, right? Yeah. So it's not even that it's down running back class. It's that these other positions are so good. So it's hard to look at the class and prioritize the running backs. But to your point, my running back 3 and my running back 10 could, like, you know, that range could easily all mix up based on draft capital and how my projections come out because they're so close together. So it's going to make draft weekend really fun. But I'm also not letting myself fall too in love with anybody in that range.
It might make you overdraft a running back in the first round also. So you might go 108, you know, maybe 107 if you have to. I want to get the running back if I need a guy.
I don't know if you can draft someone, if you can overdraft someone that goes to the Cowboys at like pick 56. If they went to the third round and it's pick 87 and he's like the fourth running back off the board,
right,
then that might not be as enticing. But if they reach at running back in the second round, I don't think you can overdraft them. I don't think that. I think they're just going to end up jumping up the draft board. That we're going to see that value rise simply because draft capital, landing spot, you know, opportunity, it's there.
What about what's your take on Brooks? Because he's gotten a little bit of hype too, right?
So there's a lot of Jonathan Brooks truthers out there for sure. The thing about Brooks is if you watch Brooks tape, right, and if you watch the tape on Brooks in isolation, I watch tape on all of these guys. He looks like one of the three best runners in the class. You know, he's explosive. I love his lateral agility. I think he's got solid lower body strength. I think his ability to make guys miss in tight space is good. He gets in and through his cuts very well. And he's got some downfield acceleration ability as well. So I understand why folks are getting excited about Brooks, but I think folks are writing off the injury too quickly. You know, the two areas where Brooks is rated the highest for me is his explosiveness and his lateral agility, right? Those are two things that are not going to come back quickly post ACL injury, right? Even if he's at camp, even if he's running, even if he's not put on the pup early on in the season, he's not going to have that same level of explosiveness, and he's not going to have that same level of lateral agility, at least until halfway through his rookie season at best. So for me, I'm a full fade on Brooks, because I think he's going to cost an early to mid second round rookie pick. And we do this every year. We pretend like dynasty managers are patient, and then we never are, right? So, you know, Brooks is going to get put on the pup, most likely. He's going to miss the first 6 weeks of the season, most likely. And he's going to come back, and he's probably not going to be super effective for the next 6 weeks. At that point, he's stuck on your bench. You can't flip him. Unless he really breaks out later in the season, you're probably entering, you know, your first off season with him not producing, and his value is going to tank. So you're going to have to ride with him and hope that he hits year two. It just doesn't seem like a good investment of my second round pick. If he falls to the mid third round, I'll take Brooks all day. But especially if you're drafting 201, 202, 203, man, there are seriously talented guys that you're going to be able to draft in that range. We're going to be able to put up some more likely immediate production for you.
Well, let's talk about this orphan that with these two orphans we need to fill in this listener league. Folks, come on now. This orphan here. Get on over here with all us rednecks and city folk. We up in this thing. Actually, we're way more than y'all are like outnumbering us rednecks by like 80 to 20. But you got to come up here. You got to get in there, draft, take Larry's picks. Because they're always early, and win this league. Come on. Come on now. We're going to have a dispersal, at least a three-team dispersal. Once these orphans are filled, I'll throw it out to the league and see who else wants to get in on the dispersal. Yeah. We have a second chance.
Some fun peeps in this league, too. So Matt, this is a three-copy, 14-team, super flex, heavy tight end premium, start 11.
And you draft future firsts in rookie draft.
Yeah, you draft future firsts in the rookies. Other GMs firsts.
I've not seen that twist before. I like that.
Specific first. So the rookie draft will have everybody's firsts, and their names will be next to the first.
So the 2026 firsts will be in the rookie draft this year.
Oh, you can draft other people's firsts?
Yes.
Right.
2026 firsts are in the rookie draft. And then you can just pick them at any point in the rookie draft.
So once the gates open, it's chaotic. I love that.
Exactly. Chaotic is a good word for it.
Yeah.
That's fun. And Larry is taking. He's still working on figuring out the rules 3 years in. So
there's a pattern. There is a pattern there. But get in this league. We had some fun folks in this league.
The league is loaded with random people from all over, podcasters, and then, you know, fantasy folks that just love to play. And there's 42 people in there. So there's 40 right now, 40. So we need two more to round this out for 2024.
There you go. I think he came over one. So we might have one pick, but we will fill this orphan if we don't do it up until the draft. We'll talk about our NFL draft party right now. Bam. NFL draft party. We will fill the orphans then. We're giving away two Aaron Rodgers jerseys. Johnny Lobb's going to pop in and say, hi, Matt, you're invited too. If you want to pop in for a round or two or three, we just have everybody come and go as they please. And we talk about picks and we just have a good time, man. We've had some great friends on, man, actually. Yeah. Jeez, man. And there's some fireworks during the draft too. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we
love to talk shit about Larry's Jets picks. So,
it's always fun because the Jets always have an early pick.
And look, the Falcons don't have to take a quarterback this year, so I won't be upset when they pass on them. So it'll be great.
This guy is a Falcon. The Falcons are usually picking early as well. So
I like that. Two Aaron Rodgers jerseys being given away. That's more than he's worn so yes. far.
Amen to that. Look, that's you can't give away two gang used jerseys because he doesn't have one.
We got one.
Yes. And like I said, they're brand new. Pretty much, they've only been worn for like 5 minutes.
One snap. Yeah.
Barely dusted.
Oh no.
Let's talk about it. Stephon Diggs, right, Justin?
Yeah.
What are your guys' take on this whole Houston move?
Yeah, for me, I think the biggest winner is Kincaid. At least at this point in time, I think it opens up a lot more volume for him. Probably gets used out in the slot a little bit more. I think the real winner is whoever Buffalo drafts, which wide receiver they draft in the first round, because it feels all but certain now. I wouldn't even be shocked if we see them get aggressive to trade up if their guy is falling. I don't know if they'll be so aggressive to try to trade up, you know, for a guy like Adunze if he falls out of the top 10, which I think is more possible than mock drafts currently make it seem.
Oh, man,
I think that would be really interesting. A guy like Brian Thomas Jr., I think would be an absolute perfect fit in Buffalo. So those are my biggest winners. You know, I do projections and I did just update them right before we jumped on. I think Diggs, it's about net neutral for Diggs. You know, I think his catch percentage goes up a little bit. I think his targets go down a little bit. You know, Tank Dell, I think, is fine. I think he's pretty insulated. If anything, it might help him a little bit. Not pull top coverage. Nico, he's probably the loser in this situation.
Yes, you know? He is, isn't he?
Yeah. That's probably the big loser.
Yeah, that, you know what? Nico's always been that. He's always been the biggest loser, right? He was always had the hype, and then all of a sudden he kind of shined last season, and then
I was when he was coming out, I was a Nico Collins truther, but I even knew better than to buy this offseason. So I have not bought any Nico Collins. It was not a sad day for me.
We had this discussion about Kincaid and the tight end. Targets in Buffalo. How do you feel about the volume dropping after Brady took over? They went from 74 targets in the first 8 games to 56 in the last 9 games for tight ends. Does that concern you, even though that the target volume opened or the potential volume opened up for receptions or targets in that offense with Diggs gone? Does it concern you that Brady really didn't game plan around the tight ends?
Yeah, you know, I've been conservative on my Kincaid projection up until this point.
Okay.
You know, I've had him around 14% of the target share, which, you know, is good for a tight end, but it's not, you know, in that Andrews, Hockenson type territory. I did bump him up to 18% after this Diggs trade, but it could easily swing back down, you know, if they take one of those guys, like I was talking about, Adunze, Brian Thomas. So, you know, my take on Brady is he's a pretty creative minded head coach. I don't know that we've ever seen him run an offense through a tight end, but I do think if he gets stuck in a situation where Dalton Kincaid is one of his, you know, best weapon or his second best weapon, he's going to figure out how to get him involved. So it's a little bit of a hedge answer for you, but I think if it has to be Kincaid, I don't think Brady has a block where he can't get the tight end involved. He's just never really had to.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're worried about having Kincaid on your team now, there's never been a better time to put him on the block, try to shop him around. I mean, now's the time to do it. If you're just like, if you're like, you know what, I'm out. Look, now's the time. You got to move him now, you know.
You might be able to, you know, get a first round pick plus a guy like Michael Mayer back, who, you know, I had Mayer ranked higher than Kincaid coming out, and he didn't get the volume that Kincaid got last year. But if you watched when Mayer was on the field and he got the targets, he was super efficient and productive with it. So he's somebody I have been buying this offseason. You know, so if I had Kincaid, I would try to, you know, if you can get a 108, 109 plus Mayer, I would take that. You get your pick back that you probably invested in him last year plus.
Man.
You know, something like that would be nice.
I have Mayer, and it's so risky, right?
Something like that would be pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Man, Mayer, I love it. Oh, I'm all about that.
I trust my eyes, man. You know, it is – obviously, you need a little bit of quarterback help there in Las Vegas.
Matt, let's be honest. We need a lot of quarterback help there in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you need some help. I mean, Minshew to his tight ends, though, it's not a bad spot to be. I am under the impression that it's probably going to be Minshew for at least the start of the season, but probably more than that.
Imagine that Aiden O'Connell beats out Minshew. After watching both of them play last year and watching Minshew play the last few years, I didn't see anything out of Aiden that said, hey, yeah, I'm a NFL starter. You know, whereas
Here's the thing. If they believed Aiden O'Connell was the starter, I don't know that they would feel the need to go out and get Gardner Minshew.
Right.
You know, like Gardner Minshew is the guy they're bringing in to compete and win the job. They could have gone in a different veteran direction if they just wanted to get bodies in there and they actually wanted to, you know, build up and mentor Aiden O'Connell. It doesn't seem to be the direction they're going.
Yeah, man, I love that Mayer take. I have him in one spot. He's just been like blah. But yeah, 40. Yeah. What do you have? He had 40 targets. Like, yeah, he had just like a rookie. What you'd expect in the old days or just a few years back, a rookie tight end season.
Yeah, he had some flashes. He was my tight end one last year. He had some flashes, but he never put together even like a 3 or 4 game stretch where it's like, yeah, that's the guy.
It was really dependent. I'm trying to pull up his game log because if I'm remembering correctly, it's like it's one of those situations where when he was targeted, he was efficient. He just didn't get the targets. And, you know, especially with a tight end, sometimes you got to look past that. You got to remember, you know, what the tape was coming out. Again, I could be wrong. I could just be take locking. But if you make that trade that, I gave the example of, say, 108 and Michael Mayer, you know, worst case scenario, Michael Mayer misses. You still have the 108, and that's going to get you a pretty good wide receiver in this year's class. So
I'll be honest. I would trade Kincaid for the 108 straight up. Mayer would just be a cherry on top. That's personally where I stand on that.
Mayer sweetener. He's got a touchdown. Yeah, I got
the game log up here. New England, 5 for 6, 75 yards.
Yeah.
What? New York Jets, he was 3 for 5 with a touchdown. Chargers, 4 for 5 with a touchdown. So, you know, maybe they try to get him more involved.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. Jacoby Myers, though. Right?
I do like Myers. I like Myers. Adams is there, so there's some to go around.
Jacoby Myers has really come around in the fantasy community. From like a man to, but I really like that guy. I mean, I don't hear anybody ever say, yeah, I don't want him. I don't want anything to do with him. It's like, I don't even know how it happened because he didn't have like, he never had a big breakout season or anything. He's just been consistently solid as a low end wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. Like, he's just been that guy. But people, I mean, it's like he's a darling in the fantasy community. And I like him too. So I can't be like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's like, no, I like Jacoby as well. He's fun to have on the team just as the guy that unexpectedly gets you 13 points, you know.
Hey, just put him in that flex spot and sleep well.
How have the QBs shaken out for you this season? I mean, there seems to be quite a few to choose from. Are we out of the COVID cloud and now like we're getting real quarterbacks again coming through, or like what's the story?
In terms of the age of this incoming class, is that what the COVID is around?
I hope not, because we have a shit ton of old ass quarterbacks in this class.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm clearly talking about the Zach Wilson class, right? Wow. And
the jaded Jets fan is just stuck on the Zach Wilson class.
Right. But okay. I mean, there's a number of quarterbacks coming out, and then all of a sudden what's your over under on quarterbacks going in the first round of the NFL draft?
Yes, I'm pretty confident we're getting 4. I'm standing by that. You know, I think if anybody gave you a line, the line's probably 4.5. You know, I would take the under on that. You know, Caleb, Drake, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, I think those are the guys that are going to go. I know there's a lot of hype around Michael Penix. You know what? NFL GMs do silly things. So maybe Michael Penix goes. But I don't think that NFL GM would have his job by the end of Michael Penix's first contract, if he took him in the first round.
It's wild that people – let me just go off on a little tangent here. But it's wild that people are giving so much stock to Michael Penix's 40 time. Yeah. But he doesn't run. He doesn't use that speed. Thank you. That speed doesn't get you anything on the field. Like, all right, great. Now he can just move around the pocket. Where's that 40 time? Like, I mean, what's he going to take off once or twice a game? I mean, it's – It's funny how there's so much stock in that number, and yet it's so irrelevant to his game.
I'm glad you brought that up, Justin, because it's one thing, you know, everyone was freaking out about that 40 time. And a lot of folks, you know, may not follow college football to the same degree, right? Michael Penix started off at Indiana. His mobility was a big part of his success. He was always a more mobile quarterback. The reason that he doesn't run is because he kept getting injured. He's had four season-ending injuries. So when he went to Washington, you know, it wasn't that all of a sudden he couldn't run. It's that he couldn't run consistently, and they didn't trust him to keep his body upright and healthy.
And with confidence, yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's the reason he lives in the pocket. He's not, you know, I think everybody is so stuck on, remember C.J. Stroud never ran, but then he ran in the college football Georgia playoff game, and everyone was like, oh my God, he's a rusher. So, well, he's athletic. What, you know, watch Michael Penix not in a straight line. Guys, he's not running in the NFL. He'll scramble occasionally if he has to. It's not happening. So you have to keep that in mind for fantasy. So if you have a quarterback who's not going to run, you need him to throw 4,000 yards and 30-plus touchdowns in a season to have a shot to be a QB1. It's not the corner you want to back yourself into.
So where do you stand on the top with these top four? We don't really need to talk about Penix and Bo Nix anymore, but top four, or how do you rank these top four?
Yeah, so, you know, Caleb's in his own tier for me. I understand the critiques on Caleb, but at the end of the day, you have great arm talent. You have great athleticism. You know, if you go back to the 2022 tape, you're going to see some really good decision-making. You're going to see some good processing. 2023, we saw way too much hero ball. It looks like pretty confidently he's going to go to the Bears. I think the Bears are going to. Then this sounds so stupid to say, you know, 4 months away from the Bears just ruining Justin Fields. But it looks like Caleb Williams isn't going to have to play hero ball early on. Now he's got a consistent running game to support him. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got DJ Moore. I think I'm forgetting somebody. You know, Cole Kmet, I guess, underneath. So I think Caleb's going to be able to you know, be a really productive player right off the bat. I have him in dynasty rankings. He comes in as quarterback 7 for me. I think he's nice. Well worth if you're doing a startup. Yeah. I mean, he's there. You know, he's right there. Burrow, Stroud, you know, Caleb. That's the range that I would be drafting him in. And then to me, you know, you have May and Daniels in a kind of tier of their own. For me, it's a conversation of what's your risk aversion, right? With Daniels, way more upside. All right. So there's a really high ceiling with his athletic ability. If you're going to draft for upside, you're going to go Daniels. If you want a little bit more floor, still with upside, Drake May, that's going to be your choice. You know, May has good tools. He's got a good arm. I do think he needs a little bit of time to catch up on the processing side of things, especially if he ends up behind an offensive line that's not going to protect him very well. So right now, May's my quarterback too. It's very close with Daniels. I reserve the right to flip on that still when I see those landing spots.
Yeah.
And then JJ McCarthy, you know, isn't quite in that tier, but if that's tier two, he's tier, you know, 2A, because I'm a big fan of JJ McCarthy. I've been in on him from the start, you know, way back to last summer, just getting roasted for calling him a first round quarterback. And now here we are. I love JJ's mechanics. I think he's got the best mechanical foundation in the class, which the NFL always appreciates. He has better arm talent than he's given credit for, and he is very mobile. He's very athletic. He throws very well on the run. He protects the ball. He's got good decision-making. The key for JJ McCarthy is we need to just manifest him to the Vikings, all right? You put him in that Kevin O'Connell offense with those weapons, I might take him as quarterback too. I got to be honest with you guys.
Wow.
You know,
that's that spiciness I was looking forward to right there. If he hits that Kevin O'Connell, and I'd seen that from you, and I was like, let's see if he gets there.
It might happen. And I mean, the last thing I'll say about this quarterback class is I said 4 will go in the first round. And my unpopular take here is if a fifth guy goes, you know, late 20s, they're trading up to get that fifth year on the contract. I think it's Spencer Rattler. He's my quarterback five over Bo Nix, over Michael Penix. Yeah, so that's my other spicy take on the quarterback class.
Spencer Rattler. He would have been a first-round like Debbie pick back in the day, right?
If he could have come out after his sophomore year, he would have been the 101 in the NFL draft, I think.
We were talking about Rattler versus DJU.
I mean, that's right.
Golly, two guys.
Bijan was like getting floated around back then too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. At least Spencer Rattler did something. DJU just, man, he flopped. He completely flopped. Like, he was supposed to be the heir apparent for T-Law, and it just, man, he was awful at Clemson.
Yeah, so he didn't get it done. And you look at Spencer Rattler, and I got to tell, I did not want to be the guy out here hyping Spencer Rattler. You look early on in his career like, this guy's the worst, you know. But you watch his South Carolina tape, and what impresses me whenever I'm watching quarterbacks is growth and improvement over time. And having been able to watch Spencer Rattler over 4 years worth of tape, you watch his South Carolina tape this last year, excellent decision-making. The man was under pressure constantly playing in the SEC behind the worst offensive line. He protects the ball. He makes reads well. You know, he still has some errant throws, but for the most part, he's really reined in on the mental side of the game, and which is really impressive because he's always had the physical tools, right? The physical tools were, after his sophomore season, why we wanted him to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft. I mean, that's where he was getting mocked, but the mental side wasn't there. I think he's really grown on that side of his game. Yeah, I think the NFL could see him as a first-round pick, truly.
I have him in the kitchen sink league, actually, sitting around. Oh, there you go. On the old taxi squad. So
that's
yeah.
another guy that if you're in a Debbie league, might be someone to target. You know, if you believe that he can sneak into the back end of the first round.
Well, yeah, that's a nice hot take. Spencer Rattler into the first round, a little Lamar Jackson style, like bam, trade in, little trade in, scoop him up.
I it used to be that we would have this narrative that teams wanted to trade in for the fifth round option, but it just hasn't happened lately, and I wonder if it's going to happen this year. Maybe you get a
draft party. We're just like, oh, like the Packers last season. We're like, oh, they're coming in with something. They're going to, you know, we're like, we got to take a wide receiver. Take a wide receiver.
You know, the one thing about this year's quarterback class that so if you look at last year, this year's class has been hyped for a while. So I think there was a little bit of a conservative approach in last year's quarterback class in terms of, you know, teams, if they were on the fence about a guy, not needing to feel like they were pushing in the chips. We have a full year. So the NFL could feel better about the 2025 class this time next year. But as of now, the consensus thought is that it's weak. It's a weak 2025 class. Yeah. So if you're looking at, all right, do I push the chips in? Do I take a shot on Spencer Rattler this year? Or do I wait a year? You know, if I'm picking, you know, do I have Carson Beck? Is it Quinn Ewers who doesn't look like a complete you know, it's not an exciting look ahead. So why not try to get your guy now, roll the dice, see what happens. And if you got to scrap it, you could scrap it and start over next year.
Yeah, is it 125-pound Shedeur Sanders? Like, I mean, there's just –
Yeah, well, do you have a spot on your roster, on your coaching staff for Deion? Because you're going to need to give him a position coach job in order to get, you know, Shedeur onto the roster. Yeah, that's a mess.
It's back to the top of the quarterback class. How much of a difference are you viewing the Washington and New England landing spots, assuming that there's no trade outs there? Is this going to be one of those situations where whichever of Drake and Daniels lands in Washington is just a clear step above the other one who lands in New England? Is that going to be the differentiator? Because, you know, pick two or three doesn't matter, but the landing spot possibly.
Who knew that the Washington would be a more attractive spot than New England?
Everyone over the last however many years, because New England's they're drafting and
N'Keal Harry, that screwed him off. That messed him up forever. No. The curse of N'Keal Harry.
I don't want to talk about my 101 that year. In one QB, yeah.
I do think, you know, you have to proceed with a little bit of an open mind when it comes to New England. It's a new coaching staff. It's a new front office this year. The offensive line, I think, is in better shape than Washington. I think Washington had this good old line, and it just kind of fell apart.
Well, they let it cold and beat up, and then, yeah.
Right. So you know, you look at what New England, I think the advantage for New England, and this is almost going to sound counterintuitive. I think with New England, the advantage is, right, say a guy like Drake May, who you're like, I don't know that I want him on the field week one. I think you can get 2 months out of Jacoby Brissett, right? Like, you don't have to rush these guys on the field. And we've seen this, you know, as kind of a consistent formula, is that rookie quarterbacks, it's tough to hit in your first year. Look at Trevor Lawrence. Look at Josh Allen, right? Like, some of these guys have really come through afterwards. So I think there's actually a little bit of an advantage in New England to being able to sit and learn and grow. So it might be more about a match than a necessarily landing spot. Well, obviously, the New England weapons are not fantastic, but they're manageable. You're going to get a little bit more in terms of weapons from the Washington team, but you better be ready to bring it week one, right? And I think that's going to be more advantageous to Jaden Daniels than it is necessarily going to be for Drake May.
I'll be honest, I didn't expect to come into today wondering if New England's weapons were as good as Buffalo's. And now there's a conversation there. So, you know, maybe there's hope.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kendrick Bourne is what he is, but I think he's a pretty reliable guy out there. You know, DeMario Douglas did a lot better last year than he was given credit for. And, you know, the best friends of a rookie quarterback are tight ends and your running backs. And, you know, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, it's not the sexiest combination, but they're perfectly reliable underneath. And then you got Stevenson and you have Gibson. You have your check down option in Gibson. And then a guy like Stevenson who can, you know, keep the defense honest in the box. So, and remember too, you know, it sounds like from everything New England's telling us, this coaching approach will be similar to what Cleveland was employing. So you don't necessarily need a three wide receiver set to get by. There's upside. I think I'm more optimistic about New England than my brain tells me I should be.
Yeah, Jason's in the chat, one of our patrons here, and he says, doesn't New England change now that Belichick isn't there anymore?
Right, sure. Exactly, Jason, yeah.
I agree. I just think it's going to take them time to get that roster back to quality NFL. You know, they've got a lot of work to do there.
Right, yeah, they do.
But if like you said, if May is not thrown to the wolves out there, you know, he might get that opportunity to sit and, you know, develop a little bit. So the speed of the game is gonna affect somebody who is in a situation where the weapons can't just overcome, you know, a bad throw here and there.
So hold on, what are you giving up for a Darnold or a Brissett? Since these are the backup guys that are going to be starting the season for these rookies, are we talking second rounders, mid second, late second?
Not can't give up a second,
Larry. You're really asking the riveting questions here. Kobe Brissett.
What are you doing with your Brissett? You're stuck with him? You gotta hold him?
Yeah, I think you want Brissett. Yeah. If you could get a two, if somebody was going to give you a two, like
the 210? For Brissett,
take it.
Yeah. 210 for Darnold, 210 for Brissett?
No, the 310 for Darnold. I'll take the 310 for Darnold.
Yeah, anything for Darnold. Anything for Darnold.
The 210 for Brissett, sure.
Didn't I just
Darnold's move not Darnold starting this season?
Did I just move Darnold?
The worst thing for Darnold's stock would be if he starts the season.
Dang it. I wonder what I can't remember if I traded him or not. I don't know. So what, this class or last class? If you had to take your pick at either of them right now, obviously 2023 has its advantage since you already know what the deal is. But what do you think in terms of like depth of class
and the star power, because it matter, you know, studs matter.
Yeah, there's like more. Yes, might be a little top heavy. What do you think
overall? Like you're saying, not just the quarterbacks. You're saying overall.
Yeah.
I would take this year's class. You know, even knowing what we know, and last year's class, you know, produced at a very, very, you know, good level. But you have a chance to get two quarterback ones out of this class, Caleb, and then somebody out of May, Daniels, and McCarthy. You got a potential tight end one overall in Dynasty and Brock Bowers, you know, within the next 3 years. Wow. Then you got Marvin Harrison Jr., who's going to start as a Dynasty wide receiver one for me. Malik Nabers, who's going to start right there. And then just the depth of the class. I mean, you're going to be drafting really, you know, wide receiver two, three type guys well into the mid-second round. Yes. So depth at the top. I would take 2024, and you know that is saying a lot because 2023 has already put out some really, you know, high level of production.
Well, I made a trade that involved a whole bunch of second rounders. If anybody's interested in hearing about it,
I like it. Let's hear it.
So I did this last week. I traded Chase for the 106. This is a four copy league. Two 201s, a 203, and a 204. Whole lot of seconds there. Four early seconds and the 106 for Jamar Chase. I got Chase there.
This is the Dynasty Diagnostic Champions League.
Roast me. It's fine.
I think that's a fair price.
Yeah, for Chase, a first, two, three twos.
Four twos.
Four twos.
Isn't that what I did?
Four twos and a one. But where did the twos land?
201, 201, 203, 204. Those are actual.
Nice.
Yeah.
Spicy. And for Chase.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot, but you're going to have to pay a lot for Chase, you know? As long as I'm assuming because you're paying for Chase, as long as it's not a rebuilding roster that needs a lot of depth, I think it's a pretty logical move.
It's a start 10, so it's already fairly shallow.
Oh, and that helps. That helps a lot.
Start 10. This is start 10 this league, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a start 10. I have four legit quarterbacks, so I'll be moving at least one of those.
This is the Dynasty Diagnostic Champions League, the DDCL. I have
Hurts, Stroud, Murray.
All right, so you're in good shape on the QB department.
Yeah. So I figure I would try and take a shot there.
Yeah.
Lock up a stud. I think
it's good. You're gonna have to pay up. It's a big price to pay, but
I think it works for both guys. I'm sure this dude's happy. Koch is happy for.
He had such a good roster, and he started selling players late season.
He could get five because this what's fun about this type of rookie draft with four copies is you get folks that kind of drop. Sometimes the guys are coming off the board. One guy will like fall a little bit because there's four of each player.
I still have like the 112, I think, and a second, a third, and then three first next year. So
yeah.
My goal is to compete this year. I didn't want to sit there and just wait and wait and wait again. I tanked the roster. And got a bunch of pieces, got some injured players that I could put in later, et cetera. And it worked out pretty well. But I think it's time to make a run at it.
We ended last show with a flurry of like offers that were going back and forth.
Yes.
I ended up not making the deal. The guy I was negotiating with made a big deal. Here you go. What do you think of this one?
You were talking to the one guy, and then you end up making a trade.
I'm talking about a different trade altogether right now that I just made in the Renegades League. 12-team, Superflex, obviously. Start 13. Jamar Chase and Justin Fields or Herbert, 25-second and a 25-second. 225 seconds and Herbert or Jamar Chase and Justin Fields.
Chase, yeah, definitely.
Really?
Chase size. Nice.
So does that mean that you're high on Fields? Still hopeful for him, or do you have Chase over Herbert?
Yeah, it pains me because I've always been the Herbert guy, but in the Jim Harbaugh offense, you know, Herbert has really fallen down my rankings.
Wow.
Just from a coaching change, he drops.
Harbaugh has never prioritize the passing game, and nothing he's done since he got to Los Angeles suggested this is going to be
got rid of all their wide receivers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
But they also got rid of the running back. So there's that. Yeah.
I feel very confident telling you that if you see a mock draft with the Chargers taking a wide receiver at five, that is not going to be a perfect mock draft because it's not happening.
I'm hoping for neighbors right to the Chargers.
Well, didn't you see neighbors looking for a house already in LA? Did you see that?
Hey, the Rams looking for him. Hey, you know, I could be wrong. I've been wrong, but I would be shocked. I really would be. Just based on everything we know about Harbaugh. I think he's gonna look for offensive line there. I think they'll look to trade back. Or I could see him going Bowers. He loves his tight ends.
Wow.
Yeah. And if Bowers goes there, even if they trade back and take Bowers, which I think is probably the most likely, Yeah, that's a smash play. He runs his offenses through tight ends, so that would be huge.
How early would you take Bowers in a tight end premium?
In a tight end premium, I think he could go as high as 104.
Nice,
Man.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, because I would take him right now. I would take him 106 in a non premium. So I think you could jump. You could justify jumping him over a quarterback. And over Malik Nabers, and depending on, of course, how extreme the premium is.
Okay.
I'm the resident Brock Bowers truther, and so...
Yeah.
He's a Georgia guy, and...
You can't do that, Larry. You can't say that.
You're a fucking homer. Yeah, he hates that, Matt.
Anyone who has followed me since Mecole Hardman entered the league knows I'm not a homer.
I know. You're right. No, he always hated Mecole Hardman. Where do you live, Matt? Where are you living these days?
I'm in New England.
Wow. So you're a Pats fan?
No. Oh. I grew up on the New York side of Connecticut. So grew up a Giants fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lived in Baltimore for 6 years. So I claim the Ravens as well. Listen, I've given the Ravens more of my money than I ever have the Giants. So it's a good stadium. It's a nice game day atmosphere. But
where do they go? So where are you leaning with the sixth pick overall? You leaning quarterback or are you leaning wide receiver for Danny Dimes, who isn't guaranteed to season?
Yeah, the dream is to get, for me, Jaden Daniels. I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan.
Wow, nice. To the Giants.
Yeah, I would hope that they would be able to get him. The second dream is if things get really wonky and, you know, with this quarterback run and then somebody's left out and then somehow we end up with Marvin Harrison Jr. I can deal with the season of Daniel Jones if we get Marvin Harrison Jr. instead. And then, you know, we'll just let Drew Lock huck the ball to him. That should work. so that's the goal. If they take offensive line again, I'll just scream. Just don't take offensive line.
They need to spice it up. You just lost Saquon, so you need the flashy first round skill position player.
Jonathan Brooks, pick six.
So you don't think they're going to go quarterback at all unless it's Jaden Daniels? I mean, everybody's saying JJ McCarthy.
I told you I'm a JJ fan. If they ended up with JJ, I'd be fine with it. It's not the best thing for JJ.
He's still throwing a Slayton and Jalen Hyatt.
So it'll be a really mixed emotion for me if it is JJ, because I like him. I want to root for him. I want to root for him on my team. Right. I just don't want to root for him. You know, I know that's not the best thing for him. So it'll be tough if he does go to New York. But
I mean,
it's possible.
Day two running back to the Giants?
I think they will be targeting running back on day two. Probably more with that third. Do they have two thirds? Am I remembering that correctly? But a guy like Braylon Allen in blue, I would be perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, no, I could see him in the Giants. He looks like he could be a Giants guy.
Kind of fits the vibe.
Now that you mentioned it, I could see him wearing the Giants.
No, they only have one third, but with 70 there, I could see them targeting a running back.
Like, I just sent a 3-for-3 while we were talking because I was like,
man, 3-for-3? You sent out an offer?
Trying to sell Justin Herbert.
I know, right? Now I'm all about it.
It's an Alvin Kamara trade. It's a Kyler Murray trade.
I love that whenever we do a show and like whoever we're talking to or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to hope.
I'm on board with whatever they say. I'm just like, yeah, fucking hey, Herbert's on the block.
If I can tier down at quarterback from Herbert to Murray and then tier up at a couple other spots, I'm all in on that. I offered Herbert, Harris, Najee Harris, and Dallas Goedert for Kyler Murray, Jonathan Taylor, and TJ Hawkinson. I know that's a steep bet. I know it's a steep ask. But, you know, maybe they look at it and go, Hawk won't be ready for the first six games. And they need they want to contend, that kind of thing.
Listen, maybe you're talking yourself into a fucking sending a fucking shit trade.
Well, it depends on how you feel about Herbert and Kyler. So if you're still thinking that Kyler is like a second round startup guy, a mid second startup guy, and Herbert is a mid first startup guy, then you know I might get something going out of it.
I got a question for Matt. With the current QB landscape, who are your top three in a startup, like startup Superflex quarterbacks? Like,
yeah, let me pull it up here, make sure I get it right for you.
Well, let's go top five then, if you're going to pull up a list.
Does the trade affect this top?
I guess I have not adjusted the dynasty rankings themselves for the trade, but I do have Allen, Jackson, and Hurts as my top three quarterbacks.
Ooh, in this wow. Yes. Lamar Jackson, baby.
Mahomie not making it in there.
He's four. You know, he's there. But I do think, you know, if you look at the Kansas City offense the last couple seasons, they don't want Mahomes to be throwing it like he was, you know, that same volume. And then his yards per attempt has dropped every season as well. They're intentionally not, you know, overloading his volume. So I found that pretty interesting.
That could be a running back destination also. I know they re-signed CEH, but he's still CEH.
No, they definitely couldn't. The thing about Andy Reid is he'll find his guy. He'll go with his guy. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter if it's in the sixth round. I mean, Pacheco was a seventh round draft pick, right?
Right,
so
right, yeah.
He'll find his – Jerick McKinnon is just, you know, a unique one of one type guy. So, you know, Reid will find a guy he loves. If he does at the running back position, he'll take him. He'll play him. It doesn't matter.
I love Pacheco, and I have him in some spots, Rutgers guy, but he's like a Marion Barber, man. He's like Marion the Barbarian. He just plows right through folks. I just feel like he gets nicked up too at the same time. So
yeah.
I feel like his playing style is just gonna, he's gonna be on the bench more than he's gonna be on the field.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we didn't touch on this. We've touched on a lot of prospects and how you feel about them, but we didn't talk about any of the process. So, more so, what are some red flags in when you're evaluating rookies, and how significant are they? How do they affect your rankings?
Ooh, that's a tough question to answer in a short space. So, so yeah, you could probably do a full hour on red flags. You know, so for me, you know, it's a tape based process for me, and then I'll factor in, you know, my projections for them. I'll factor in draft capital, a few other things that go into my formula, and kind of spit out a number for me. You know, when you look at different positions, you're going to see different red flags. So for running backs, my biggest red flag is vision. If I don't feel like they see the field well at the college level, game's only getting faster, space is only getting tighter in the NFL. So a guy like Trey Benson, I hate his vision. I don't think he sees the field well. You'll see consistently he runs right into the back of his own offensive lineman. He misses cutback lanes consistently. I'm not going to draft Trey Benson. You know, vision is heavily weighted in my running back formula. For wide receivers, you know, I don't value as heavily contested catch ability. I don't value as heavily yards after catch ability. Those are two traits I found don't translate for fantasy production in the way that folks think they are. So if you're looking for like a red flag for the wide receivers, I'll highlight a guy like Rashad Bateman. I was notoriously low on Rashad Bateman because, you know, he didn't really create separation at the college level. He was relying on contested catch. Then you look at his frame, he doesn't have the frame to dominate at that level in the NFL. Another, you know, guy in this year's class, you know, wide receiver red flag for me is a guy like Malachi Corley, right? One of my biggest, you know, I say I don't value yards after catch ability. If you're relying on that yak upside to make a prospect, it's a nice bonus to a prospect profile. But if you're relying on it, there's a low translation rate because you're relying on high volume. And especially if you're going to draft somebody, you know, he's going to go in the third or fourth round, right, in the NFL. So you're not going to prioritize one of those guys. You're not going to give him 80, 90, 100 targets guaranteed as a rookie the way that they got those targets guaranteed at the college level. So, you know, that's a big red flag for me at the wide receiver position. And then quarterbacks, it's mechanics. You need to have good mechanics. You need to show growth over time.
Are you focused when you say mechanics on footwork and driving through the ball, or is it more about throwing angles and, you know, staying consistent with that?
Yeah, a lot goes into it, of course, but footwork throwing motion are my two biggest things. If you don't throw from a consistent platform, it's hard for me to get behind you. You know, like I want to like Bo Nix. I really do. And I think he'll be a good pro, you know, but I can't hype him up. I can't get too excited about him because his footwork is just so damn inconsistent. And maybe he gets coached up the right way in the NFL, but he's had 6 years to do it in college. Like, can we get those feet settled? Then you look at a guy like Michael Penix Jr. I mean, that throwing motion is so elongated. The longer you know, your throwing motion, you can get away with a long one in college, but the game is too quick in the NFL. The pressure is going to get to you too quickly. You need to be able to get that ball out quicker. So, you know, those are two ways that could really show up in a negative way.
Stevie D popping into the chat. Had a great question. Baby.
Stevie D.
With all these wide receivers in the draft, which wide receiver rooms are you worried about getting extra competition? He says he's kind of looking at the second round draft order and worrying a little bit about Commanders and Packers wide receivers.
Oh, that's a good question. It's hard because you couldn't have predicted what Green Bay did last year, right? Like, you know, I think if Detroit takes another wide receiver, which they could, that's going to start to get a little crowded there. If Baltimore takes another wide receiver, that could start to get a little crowded just based on volume. There's the thought that Indianapolis could target at 46 another wide receiver. That could start to get a little tight.
Jeez, Alec Pearson, Downs, and Pittman, and
yeah,
it would be like a death nail for Downs and especially Pierce. I think this trade pretty much takes the Texans off of the or out of the wide receiver market. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
the team that could do like the Packers, like what the Packers did last year, as I would say, is Arizona. Hmm. You look at Arizona's draft capital. Ready? They have 4, 27, 35, 66, 71, 90, 104, 138, 162, 186, 226. And we know Ozzie will be on the phones again this year, right? So I could see them legitimately walking away from the draft with 3 wide receivers. You know, you get your stud at 4, you get a really solid guy at 66, and then, you know, you draft somebody on day 3 that you like as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the team most likely to be the Packers of this year, so to say.
It's funny that Stevie D asked the question. Then you start looking at teams, and you're like, man, all these teams could use a wide receiver.
All right, you could always use another wide receiver.
Panthers, Patriots, Cardinals, even the Commanders, honestly, they add somebody. Who does that affect? Jahan Dotson? He hadn't been relevant anyway.
Yeah, you can bump him aside.
He has like 1,100 yards in 2 seasons. The Chargers obviously need wide receivers. The Titans, I guess it could murky up a awful situation there. And then the Packers are one that, man, you don't want to see one go there because I want to see what Jaden Reed does in his second season.
Yeah, he'll be good.
I mean, they may not feel great about Christian Watson. At which That's point fair. They might need a piece there anyway.
You think the Packers, who never go – who never draft any like fun skill position guys early, are going to automatically just all of a sudden do it now
in the second
round? When we were begging for them to do it like last season
in the second round. Yeah. I think they could go at pick 41.
Well, they do like those tight ends, right? They just keep drafting tight ends early.
Well, I think I think they feel good about Kraft and Musgrave because they actually did something. They've done it for years and not gotten anything out of their tight ends, but then these guys stepped on the field and were actually productive.
Hey, Matt, what was your biggest miss that you could think of?
In general? Or last year?
What an asshole.
misses were part of the process. No, you absolutely have to. Let's see. Looking back on last year, I mean, I had Bryce Young 3rd overall. Oh, so that's not ideal.
Do you think he's toast?
No, I don't think he's toast. I really don't. We talked about it earlier, but it takes quarterbacks some time. Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was big on Hyatt 9 overall last year. Woof, not looking good, fellas. Not looking good.
Yeah, that one might be toast.
Yeah, that one's probably the miss from last year. But otherwise, I got to tell you, I'm pretty you know, solid with the way it shook out for me last year.
You can't give Hyatt. You have to give Hyatt a break. Well, he had a terrible quarterback situation.
The best thing for Jalen Hyatt is you know, Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers going to New York. I mean, if you take the top coverage, if you can put him back into the slots, that like he played at Tennessee, he'd be in a really good spot.
Yeah, God, he was always scoring touchdowns in that last season. That's how I even knew who he was. Anytime I put on a college football game, it was Jalen Hyatt running for a touchdown.
Yep. Yeah, he's good. He's got the talent, but it was not a good setup last
any,
year.
Any NFL jerseys in your closet right now? What do you got? What are you rocking?
Any jerseys? NFL?
You just saw straight up college.
The college I got like three Tennessee jerseys in there. Yeah. I think I might have a Giants jersey. I think I might have a Barkley now I'm thinking about it.
Didn't Justin, you ever paint your face for a Tennessee game, Justin?
Yeah, I painted up orange.
There you go. A little
checkerboard. I went to the Cotton Bowl back before Matt watched football, probably.
Matt, you never did the checkerboard, Matt? You do that?
I've never painted my face with the checkerboard. I've been a part of the checkerboard, you know, multiple times.
Another one that has never painted their face over here.
Never painted. You know why? Because he lives in New England, and us folk in the Northeast don't paint our faces or our chests.
A couple years down in Tennessee. I got the blackout jersey. I got one of the smoky gray alternates. No orange. I had to give up the orange after I moved.
Well, who's your favorite Tennessee guy?
Oh, like you got to go with Nico. You got to hope that he puts it together this year, right? We're all behind Nico this year.
You don't want to just stick with Kamara and go with the old.
I was there in the Pastrnak era, so you know, seeing Josh Dobbs come to his full glory this last year was pretty special.
It's funny they call him the Pastrnak when he kind of looks like he could be from outer space, like he could be like a visitor from outer space, right?
It's tough. That's a tough look. Hey,
Steady Eddie, real quick, who's your late round sleeper?
Look forward to the third rounder later.
Late round sleeper for me, running back position, Cody Schrader out of Mizzou. That's my guy. 5'8", 202, shreds inside the tackles. He's got great vision, good burst into the second level of the field. Led the SEC in rushing behind the Mizzou offensive line. Underrated pass catcher. I think he's got really good hands. He can turn and run the ball after the catch. So that's my underrated guy right now. I'll be taking Schrader in the fourth round, you know, 10 out of 10 times. And then right. I'm also a big fan of Isaiah Davis, the running back out of South Dakota State. So I'll forgive you if you're listening and you have not, you know, watched too much South Dakota State tape. But Davis is a dude, 6'0", 218. He's strong. He's powerful. He's got good burst. Absolutely physically dominated at the FCS level. So I'm a big fan of him as well. I think he's got good vision, really nice footwork, athleticism for his size.
South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
The Jackrabbits, baby.
Anybody was curious. I can't believe it took us this long to have him on, but hold on. Whoa, one more quick one. We talked about it last week, Justin. The Raheems, the Rocket Sanders, or Katron. What's his face?
Yeah. Katron Allen, is that who it was? Yeah.
Katron Allen?
Yeah, he was trying to figure out. He had an offer. It was Sam Darnold, wasn't
Raheem?
It?
Yeah, that was the Sam Darnold trade. That was the trade.
It was Sam Darnold, and he got an offer for either.
You guys, you're not going to like this answer. I'm looking right at my Devy running back rankings right now.
Katron
Allen. They're exactly the same. They have the exact same grade.
They were.
So it didn't matter which one you chose, Larry. There you go.
We went Rocket Sanders because he had a nickname and
because he actually produced.
That's the upside pick. You know, whenever it's close, you lean upside. Let's just hope that he slims down a little bit after last season.
Okay. Yeah. We weighed the pros and cons. We talked about ceiling and floor and all that kind of good stuff in last week's episode. So check that out if you want a really detailed discussion on those two chaps. But anyway, whatever, that was good. So they're the same for you guys. So at the FF underscore educator, he's a rookie, he's a Devy connoisseur, he's a Devy dynasty man. He does the rookie big board with Johnny Lobb, all kinds of good stuff. DLF football, what do you do for DLF football?
Yeah, I do some videos over there. Yeah, do some video work with them. Yeah, not as much as I would like to currently, but it's pretty busy on the rookie big board front, as you can imagine.
We feel the same way. We are a DLF podcast.
Larry wants to be a DLF podcast so bad. But then he can't refrain from the occasional rant.
No. I don't know what's going on. Ryan has been on the show plenty of times. I'm sure he could put in a good word for us.
It's the part where we drop F-bombs.
I don't feel like the F-bombs work. The F-bombs should be a big deal in fantasy sports. I feel like F-bombs should be okay in fantasy sports, right?
They are right here. That's for sure.
All right. Well, hey, Matt, did we miss anything, man? Do we want anything else you want to tell us about how awesome you are?
No, I feel like we hit it, you know, Rookie Big Board YouTube podcast. And then, you know, I do all my rankings, Discord, rookie strategy calls, all that good stuff. Patreon.com/rookiebigboard. So that's where the real good stuff is.
Appreciate it. Get it on this. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Larry Monkey and Justin Rogers talking Dynasty Football, baby.